vision that is found in Revelation 16 actually began back in chapter 15, verse 1, when John wrote, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Before those angels poured out those plagues, God wanted to show John something. John saw the saints who were victorious over the beast and everything for which the beast stood. John saw these people on a sea of glass mingled with fire, and they had harps in their hands, and they were singing a song, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And they were praising God for His works in that song. Then John saw the seven angels again. And this time they were coming out of the temple in heaven. One of the four living creatures gave the angels seven golden bowls full of God's wrath. When that was done, the smoke of God's glory and power filled the temple. For He was ready to carry out a great action against the beast." This is where Revelation 16 picks up the story. In verses 1 and 2, we find this about the first bowl of wrath. "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of wrath on the earth.' So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image." Smoke from God's glory and power filled the temple because God was in the temple. And then John heard a voice in the temple, which was the voice of God, ordering the angels to pour out their bowls of wrath. The first angel went out with his golden bowl. And this first bowl of wrath became a sore upon the men who followed the beast. This was like one of the plagues upon Egypt. And indeed, these plagues here in Revelation 16 are very similar to the plagues revealed in Exodus that were poured out upon Egypt and Pharaoh. But here, men were suffering in the body. Verse 3, the second bowl of wrath. "Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died." The second angel went out with his golden bowl. These bowls of wrath were for the followers of the beast, which had arisen from the sea. And the sea represented the peoples of the earth. Remember, we saw in a previous chapter how the Roman Empire arose from the sea in this vision. The sea representing people, and they were representing the three preceding empires. The Roman Empire grew out of the leftovers of the preceding empires. Greece, Persia, and Babylon. And so the sea became blood as of a dead man, as when God, through Moses, turned the waters of Egypt into blood. And every living creature in the sea died. What was happening was the great image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream that is revealed in Daniel chapter 2 was beginning to fall. The Bible says that that image was made of four different metals. One represented Babylon, another represented the Medo-Persian Empire, another represented Greece, and another represented Rome. And Rome grew out of the previous three. And then Nebuchadnezzar in his dream saw a small stone cut out without hands cast at the feet of this great image. And it fell and broke into pieces. And what was happening here in Revelation 16 is God is carrying out His wrath now against this empire that so persecuted His people. It was time for the Roman Empire to end. And so it began to fall. Now verses 4 through 7, the third bowl of wrath. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, and who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." The third angel went out with his golden bowl, pouring out the contents on the rivers and springs of water. The second bowl had been poured out upon the sea, that is, the salt water. This angel poured out his bowl on the water of the land, that is, the fresh water. So on the one hand, the economic base, just the fishing and everything that the Roman Empire used the Mediterranean Sea for, was affected, hurting the empire. Now its fresh water was being hurt. And like the sea, the fresh water became blood. Water, as you know, is one of the great sources of life. If it turns to blood, life cannot continue. And so God was bringing the beast to an end. He was somehow affecting the great resources of this mighty beast of Rome. Then the angel of the waters declared why the water was turned to blood. Number one, he said, "The Lord is righteous." The Lord is the one who is, who was, and who is to be. And this angel said that he showed his righteousness by judging these things. Number two, the angel of the waters said, "The people of the beast shed the blood of saints and prophets." Rome was bloody in persecuting the church. Christians were thrown into the Colosseum, as you probably know. As the Roman crowds witnessed these kind and innocent and humble people torn apart by both Romans, and wild animals. Many were crucified. Others suffered violent deaths, all for believing and doing the same things we believe and do. Number three, the angel of the waters declared that they were given blood to drink. I know Lake just read from Revelation 6, and I want to do it again. And I know, of course, when I was in Revelation 6, I read from it and commented upon it. And since then, I've read from it a couple of times and have commented upon it. And I want to do it again because, as I told you then, the book of Revelation is actually an answer to the prayers of the people revealed in Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. So let's hear again and let's notice some things that I haven't shown you before. When he opened the fifth seal, when the Lamb of God opened the seal, fifth seal in the book that he had taken from God, John said, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood. The Roman Empire had shed their blood. Now get this. The Roman Empire had sown blood. You know, like we might sow seed. The beast had sown blood. So, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. The shedding of the church's blood at that point was not done. Of course, God knew when that time would be. And Revelation 16 is the answer. Revelation 16 is the answer to their prayers that at the right time and the right way, God took vengeance on the ferocious beast of Rome. Number four, the angel of the waters declared that it was their just due. God makes us all reap what we have sown, whether good or bad. If I sow good, God causes me to reap good. If I sow evil, God causes me to reap evil. And this is also true of nations. As I just showed you from Revelation 6, the Roman beast had sown the blood of saints and prophets. Therefore, the Roman beast was reaping blood. They were reaping blood in the violence that they put upon themselves. If you ever study Roman history, you'll see how they did that and how they also shed their own blood at the hands of their enemies. Another from the altar, John said, confirmed the testimony of the angel of the waters. Lest there be any doubt on our part, there is this second witness from heaven confirming the truthfulness and righteousness of the judgments of God. Sometimes we may wonder why God does what He does. Sometimes we may think He's being awfully severe. But this other voice, this other angel perhaps confirmed that God does what is righteous and true. Verses 8 and 9, the fourth bowl of wrath. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give Him glory. The fourth angel went out with his golden bowl, pouring it on the sun. The earth that men walked upon, the sea upon which they sailed, and the water which they drank, all felt the wrath of God. Then the sky turned against them with the burning of the sun. God sought through great heat to purge them of their sin, but they refused to be purged of their sins. They did not care what they suffered. They just wanted to continue in their sin. Rather than repenting, look at what they did. First, they blasphemed the name of God. They should have turned to God, but they were hardened against Him. Just like Pharaoh. Secondly, they did not repent. It did not occur to them that they should change their lives. Perhaps they did not see that they were suffering for their sin. But whatever it was, they're not going to repent. And number three, they refused to give God glory. To them, the purpose of life was not to glorify God, but to be glorified and to enjoy pleasure. That was the Roman Empire. Verses 10 and 11, the fifth bowl of wrath. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. The fifth angel went out with his golden bowl, pouring it out upon the throne of the beast. And the beast's kingdom became full of darkness. The royal authority of the beast was darkened, no longer providing the light that government should for its citizens. The awesome political power of the Roman Empire was affected by the wrath of God, so much so that the political power of this Roman machine would soon grind to a halt and cease to be. And how did the people respond to that? Did you notice that John wrote, men gnawed their tongues because of the pain, as a dog might gnaw on a bone. The pain they experienced was so bad, they just, like gnashing your teeth, but the tongue got in the way, and they just were gnawing on their tongue. It was hard for them to deal with the pain of the mighty processes of the Roman political machine not working as it once did. And it affected life for the people greatly. They had built their faith in the beast, in the policies and power of the Roman Empire. And so when the beast suffered a fatal wound, the people lost all hope. Look at it this way. What would happen if our government completely collapsed here in America? Oh, we'd be affected, every one of us, and a lot of people would lose their hope. But he who lives by faith in God through Jesus Christ is not dependent upon governmental politics, but knows that God is over all and that ultimately he is the one who is responsible for all the good things we have. So whether he wants to do it through our current government or another one or something else, we know he'll do it. But if you don't have that faith, what happens when something as mighty as an empire suddenly begins to collapse? The feelings of fear and uncertainty, of inward pain, would be overwhelming. Now, verse 11 here showed that they did not change. They still blasphemed God because of their pain and their sores, showing the stubbornness of their ways, just as in verse 9, in the fourth bowl, showed people not repenting and glorifying God, but blaspheming Him because of their suffering. And for those of you that have the sermon handouts, I strongly encourage you to read the sermon sidebars, because I have more information on that particular part there. Just on the dominating power of sin and what any sin will do to us if we let it get a hold of us like these people did with them. It'll rule our lives regardless of what our suffering is. We'll continue in it. These people absolutely refuse to repent of their deeds. Sin brought enough pleasure that the sinners of Rome absolutely refused to give it up. You know something? That same thing still goes on today with most of the world. If we let sin get inside, man, it won't let go. And it will capture us. It will dominate us. It will run our lives. Even if we have to suffer for it. Even if our suffering is bringing us to the point of death, we won't care. We're still serving the king of sin. But that's what Jesus Christ is all about. He is the only escape from sin. And you know something? Every one of us on the last great day will meet God. And there's only one way to prepare to meet Him. And that's through Jesus. Jesus died and then entered into heaven, going in before us, paving the way for us, removing the barriers, opening up the door. But I can only go through if I follow Him. Remember in Revelation chapter 7, we found that there's a great multitude up there in heaven. And the Bible told us that they are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Jesus died and was buried and then was resurrected. We have to go through that same thing when we're baptized. We baptize one who is dead, you get buried under the water, and you're brought back up, and you're now resurrected. Now you're walking with Jesus and you follow Him, believing whatever He says, obeying His commands, and then when this life is over, you can go right on into heaven itself. If you've not done that yet and you'd like to experience it, come forward now as we stand and sing.